How do you know if you're saved? How can a person know if they have eternal life, if they will be with Jesus Christ forever? You know, sometimes people doubt that. Sometimes people are confused. But the Bible is very clear. The Bible says this. How does one have eternal life? You put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior. The famous verse, of course, John 3:16, God so loved the world He gave His only begotten Son that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. You can know that you have eternal life. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13 says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. When you put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior, He gives you eternal life. That's the key. John chapter 10, verse 28, I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. Nobody can pluck them out of my hand. And John chapter 5, verse 24, truly, truly, I say to you, he hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life, will not come into condemnation, but has passed from death to life. That's powerful. We look to Jesus Christ for the assurance of our salvation. When we trust in Him and Him alone, He gives to us eternal life, and we can know that based on His promises and His power. Now, sometimes people say that you need to look at somebody's lifestyle to see if they're a Christian. Well, there's a problem with this. You can't tell by lifestyle, because there are some unsaved people who live good lifestyles, and there are some believers who live bad lifestyles. If you look to lifestyle, you cannot know. But if you look back to your Savior, Jesus Christ, to the fact that you have put your faith in Him, He has promised you and has given to you eternal life, you can have the assurance of your salvation. As we look at 2 Peter this morning, Peter makes a statement that is sometimes confused. And that's why I started off this way. Because he says you need to make your calling sure. What does he mean? I want you to understand. He is not saying, make sure that you know you are saved. He's not saying that. He is writing to save people. He calls them brothers. He is saying, make it clear to others that you are saved. We will see this, and we'll see what he's talking about as we go through our passage this morning. Peter, of course, has encouraged the believers to live godly lives. As we begin, let's just remember where we are. Peter is writing. He's writing to believers, most likely in Asia Minor. He is encouraging them, as we said, to live godly lives and to warn them about false teachers. We have seen a flow, and if I want you to just think back with me, if you want to, you can look at the verses. You don't have to. You can just listen to what I'm saying. But if you think back, in verse 3, he said that he has given us everything that we need for a godly lifestyle. In verse 4, he said that everything that we need comes from his promises, his magnificent promises that he has given to us. And then as we looked at verses 5, 6, and 7, he listed 8 qualities that we need to be developing in our lives so that we can basically grow and make a difference for Christ. In verse 8, and this is what we're going to begin to see this morning, he shows us what happens if we do develop the qualities. In verse 9, he shows us what's going to happen if we don't develop these qualities. In verse 10, he tells us to live in such a way people see that we're believers. And in verse 11, he deals with an incredible truth. He talks about our entering the kingdom and what it's going to be like. So there's some powerful things in this passage this morning that we see. Let me begin by just reminding you of what we saw in verses 5, 6, and 7, those 8 qualities that we're to develop. Let me read those verses. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. He says, now for this very reason, also apply in all diligence, make every effort, he says, in your faith supply moral excellence. Your moral excellence, knowledge. In your knowledge, self-control. Self-control, perseverance. And in your perseverance, godliness. In your godliness, brotherly kindness. And in your brotherly kindness, love. Those are 8 qualities, he said, that we ought to make every effort to develop. You remember the first one is faith, and that means trusting God and being faithful. Moral excellence was virtue, living at a higher plane. Knowledge was knowing and applying God's word. Self-control was controlling your desires, mastering your flesh rather than your flesh mastering you. Perseverance was being patient, hanging in there. Godliness was becoming more and more like Christ. Brotherly love was loving fellow believers. And then the final word for love was basically meant loving all people. He said that's the kind of things you need to be developing in your life. And we raised that question last week. Are we developing these qualities, these characteristics in our lives? Now, he's going to show us something. In verse 8, he's going to say, if you're doing that, this is what you're going to find. In verse 9, he's going to say, if you're not doing that, this is what you're going to find. So let's look at it. What happens if we develop these qualities in our lives? Look at verse 8. He says, for if these qualities are yours and are increasing. They render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now he says, these qualities being in you, that's what he says, and if they're increasing, because remember the Christian life is a progression, it's day after day growing to be more and more like Jesus Christ, growing in the grace and knowledge of Christ. He said, if these qualities are in you and they're increasing, then notice what he says, you will neither be useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We could put it the positive way, you will be useful and fruitful for Jesus Christ. See, we want to be useful. We want our lives to count for Christ. We want to be effective for Jesus Christ. We want to be fruitful. When we stand before Christ, we want to hear Him say, well done, good and faithful servant. So we want to be useful and fruitful for Christ. He says, if you're developing these qualities in your life, you will be useful and you will be fruitful. It's a very powerful thing. That's a prayer for each one of us in this room, that we want to be developing these qualities so that we can be useful, so that our lives will be effective for Christ, and that we'll be fruitful. We can hear Him say, well done, good and faithful servant. Now from there, He goes to verse 9 and says, now what if? What if this is not being developed in your life? Look what He says. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Now He says, listen, if you develop these things, you're going to be useful and fruitful. But if you're not developing these things, if you lack these qualities, He says three things. You're blind, short-sighted, and you have forgotten what Jesus Christ has done for you. Now I want you to think about it. Remember, He's writing to believers. He's not writing to non-Christians. He's writing to Christians. He's not saying if you don't have these qualities, you're not a Christian. He's saying if you don't have these qualities as a believer, you are blind, short-sighted, and you've forgotten what Jesus Christ has done for you. Well, let's look at that in a little bit more detail. He says, for if these qualities, or if he who lacks these qualities is blind, short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. He starts off and he says blind. And that word blind really means you miss it. You're not seeing it. And I think what he means there is you're missing the point. You're missing what you're supposed to be seeing. And you know what the point and the plan is? We're supposed to be making disciples. He says, if you're not growing as a Christian, you're missing the whole point of this thing. Our goal is to make disciples. And if you're going to make disciples, you're going to have to be a disciple. We're to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. We're to use the gifts and talents that God has given us. We're to let our lives to be effective for Christ. He said, if you're not growing, you're missing the point. You're blind to what God wants to do. The second thing he says, you are short-sighted. The word literally means to blink, but it came to mean a person who didn't see very far, who wasn't looking down the road, so to speak. And I think he's saying there that if you're not growing as a Christian, you're only seeing the now, you're not seeing the eternal. You're missing what it's all about. Not only have you forgotten the point, which is to make disciples, but you're living life in a temporal way rather than an eternal way. Because this is not all there is. In fact, this is the smallest part of the whole thing. And he's saying, if you are not growing, if you're not developing those qualities, then you miss the point. You're living for the temporal rather than the eternal. And then look at the third thing, and he says, you're having forgotten his purification from his former sins. We'd say, you've forgotten that Jesus Christ cleansed you. You've forgotten that Jesus Christ died on the cross and paid for your sins, and that when you trusted in Him, He cleansed you. He made you a new creation. You've forgotten that. Can a believer forget what God has done for them? Yes, they can. People do it all the time. If we are not developing these qualities, if we are not growing, he says, you miss the point. You're supposed to make disciples. He says you're only seeing things from the temporal view and not the eternal view. And you've forgotten what Jesus Christ has done for you. I want you to remember a great truth from God's Word. That Jesus Christ came to this earth, that He died on the cross to pay for our sins, to give to us eternal life. And He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He came to seek and save those who are lost. He came to die for us, and He paid the penalty for our sins. And when you put your faith in Christ, He gives you so much, but there are three things that stand out, and I want you to forget. There are three things you get when you put your faith in Christ. Number one, He gives to you eternal life. That's the gift of eternal life. Number two, He gives to you the forgiveness of sins. And number three, He gives you His righteousness. Romans 4:5, to him who does not work but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted, credited, imputed for righteousness. You get his righteousness. Now Peter's saying, you know, that sometimes we forget. We forget what he's done. We forget that we were dead in trespasses and sins. Jesus Christ died for us. We forget that when we believed, he made us righteous. He gave us his righteousness. He gave us eternal life. He gave us the forgiveness of sins. Peter's saying, if you live in that wrong way, if you're not growing as a Christian, you're going to forget all the things that God has done for you. And so he says, if his qualities are in you, you're going to be useful and fruitful. If his qualities are not in you, if you're not progressing in this way, you're going to miss the point. You're going to look at things only from the temporal, and you're going to forget what Jesus Christ has done for you. Now, that's powerful. Now, I want to ask you the question, and that's something we've got to think about for our own lives, is where are we? Where do you stand? Where do I stand? Are we verse 8 or verse 9? Are we verse 8, which means that we are developing those qualities in 5, 6, and 7, and that we're going to be useful and fruitful for Jesus Christ? Or are we verse 9, that we're not developing those qualities, and we've missed the whole point? We forgot that we're supposed to make disciples. We're looking at everything from a temporal view, whatever's right here, right now, and not the eternal view. And we've forgotten that Jesus Christ has cleansed us, and that we've been made new people, new creations in Christ. Very powerful. Where are you? Where am I? Now, from this, he then goes to two other subjects, two other things that are vital. One, in verse 10, he's going to talk about our testimony. And in verse 11, he's going to talk about our rewards. And they're vital. And what we're going to do, since there's so much in 10 and 11, we're going to hit on it today, but we're going to come back next week and really go into a little bit more detail on the reward end of it. I think that's something that's important to us. So verse 10, he's going to talk about testimony. And in verse 11, he's going to talk about our rewards. Look at verse 10. It says, therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you, for as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble, for in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied for you. Now, verse 10 starts by saying, therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. Now, he's writing to believers. Let me just say this. Be careful what he's saying. He says, now, be careful, brethren. Therefore, believers, he's writing to Christians. There's not a doubt about whether these people are Christians. He says, therefore, believers, be all the more diligent. He's saying, make every effort. Same as he said back in verse 5 when he said, make every effort to develop these qualities. Now he's saying, make every effort, and look what it goes on to say, to make certain about his calling and choosing you. Now he says, be diligent to make this effort to show your calling and choosing. Now, if you got a New American Standard, this is strange, because most of the time, whenever you go back to the original language, the New American Standard is the one that translates it the best. This morning, I want you to understand, New American Standard translates it the worst. If you've got an NIV or a New King James, it translates this and says, make your calling and election sure. That's the accurate reading. The New American Standard says, make certain about his calling and choosing you. I want you to understand, the word his is not in there at all. It literally says, make your calling and choosing sure. Now, we'll talk about what that means, but I want you to understand it. First of all, let me tell you what it doesn't mean. He doesn't say, look around and make sure you're saved. He's not saying that at all. He's not saying, look at your lifestyle to make certain you're saved. I want you to understand, he just calls them brethren in the verse. He says, my brethren. He's talking to believers. And remember, we don't look to lifestyle to determine if we are saved. We get the assurance of our salvation as we look back to our Savior Jesus Christ. Now, let me show you something else, and this is what makes it powerful. He says, therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain, this is how it reads, or sure. The word sure or certain means to demonstrate. It means to make clear. It was the word used of a deed. If somebody came to you and said, who owns this property? You could say, here's my deed. I want to demonstrate to you that this is my property. That's what the word meant. He is saying, demonstrate to others your calling and election. He's saying, show people you are saved. make every effort to demonstrate that you are a believer. Live out these qualities. And you know what he's saying? If you'll live out these qualities, if you'll do those eight things, not only will you be useful and fruitful, and you won't be blind, you won't be short-sighted, you won't have forgotten what Jesus did, and when you make every effort that way, you will then demonstrate to others that you belong to Jesus Christ. Listen to this. Zane Hodges, in one of his commentaries, says this. He says, when we live out these qualities, we are producing evidence for others to see that God has called us and chosen us. Bob Wilkin, who we had last spring at our education banquet, he is the guy who oversees the Grace Evangelical Society. Here's what he says. He says, the word make certain means to show others that we are saved. It is not personal assurance, but our testimony to others. Mark Bailey and Tom Constable, two Dallas Seminary professors, in one of their recent commentaries, says this, by these qualities, others could see that we are believers. They were to make God's calling and election clear to everyone. What he's saying in this verse is make every effort to demonstrate to people that you belong to Jesus Christ. Now I want you to see the flow. He says, God has given you everything you need for a godly lifestyle. It's all based on His promises. He says, now there are eight things that I want you to develop in your life. If you develop those in your life, you're going to be fruitful and useful. If you don't develop these in your life, you're going to be blind, short-sighted, and forgotten what Jesus has done. So therefore, believers, make every effort to demonstrate your calling and choosing. He's saying make every effort to tell people, to show people that you belong to Jesus Christ. Now, there's a couple of words I think we need to look at so you can understand. Look again at verse 10 when he says make every effort about the calling and choosing, or your calling and your choosing. Some Bibles actually say your calling and election. Now, those two words sometimes bother people, but I want you to understand something. They go together. We're going to see the whole aspect of salvation. And when you think about salvation, there are two sides to salvation. There is the God side and the man side. There is the God side, that He has chosen you. The Greek word is electos there. It means to be elected. It is God who chooses you and brings you to Himself. That's the God side. From the man side, there is the fact that He has called you, which is an invitation. And you must believe. That's why it says, whosoever may come, whosoever believes in Him. From the God side, He chooses you and brings you to Himself. From the man side, you've been invited and you believe and are saved. They go together. God chose you, you believe. In this passage, He says, do everything to demonstrate to people your invitation and His choosing of you. The fact that you believed and He chose you. And they go together. So He says, therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to demonstrate your calling and choosing. The calling, that's invited where you believe. His choosing is where He elects you and brings you to Himself. Both are true. Now I want you to understand this. If He had not chosen you and brought you to Himself, you would have not believed. At the same time, every one of us in this room had to believe, because He says, whosoever will believe will not perish, but have eternal life. These two Greek words show us the God side, the man side. Election, God side. Calling, the man side. He elects us and brings us to Himself. He invites us, and whosoever will believe has eternal life. That's what He's saying. It's a powerful passage. This stuff's deep. I mean, we can study this for a long time and we'll just be going, wow, that's some stuff in there. It is. And so He says, do everything to demonstrate that you've been called and chosen by God. Show people you're a believer. From that, He then goes to the last thing, and we're going to touch on this more next week. He deals with the issue of rewards and entering into the kingdom. He gives a negative and a positive. Look at the last part of verse 10. He says, as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. That's the negative. And here's the positive. For in that way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. In the negative, He says, as long as you do this, you won't stumble. In the positive, He says, you're going to enter the kingdom with abundant rewards. That's what He says. Let's look at the negative first. He says, and if you, as long as you practice these things, what things? making every effort to develop those qualities in your life, making every effort to demonstrate to others that you belong to Christ. He says, as long as you do that, you'll never stumble. And the word stumble is the word that was used. If a person was walking or running and they tripped and they fell down. And the idea is they fell down, they just kind of stayed down. And he's saying that you won't stumble in your Christian life. As you're growing, as your plan is to be more and more like Christ, as you're to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ, as you're to be like Him, you won't ever just stumble. Because, you know, let's be honest, there are a lot of Christians who stumble. They go along for a while and they're growing and they're looking pretty good, and then all of a sudden you can't find them and they're going back the other way. They stumbled and they didn't go on to maturity and they didn't grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. He says, listen, if you do these things, you develop these characteristics, you demonstrate that you belong to Jesus Christ, you're never going to stumble. And then he gives the positive. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be abundantly supplied to you. He says, when you enter the kingdom, there will be abundance. All of us who have put our faith in Jesus Christ as Savior have eternal life. There's also going to be a time, according to Revelation chapter 20, that we will be on this earth with Jesus Christ in what is called the kingdom. You're going to enter the kingdom. Now, I want you to understand, every believer enters the kingdom. But not every believer will enter and have an abundant entrance into the kingdom. If you grow and develop those characteristics, those qualities, if you live your life in such a way that people really understand that you belong to Jesus Christ, you will not stumble. And when you enter the kingdom, there will be an abundant entrance. He's talking about rewards. You will be rewarded. See, sometimes there's a misconception that people believe that whenever you put your faith in Christ, you're going to heaven, and all of us, when we all get to heaven, everything's going to be the same. It will not be the same. There's going to be a time that you will stand before what's called the judgment seat of Christ, which is a rewarding stand, and you will be rewarded for how you lived for Jesus Christ. And some will have an abundant entrance into the kingdom, and some will not. Now, I want you to understand then, and we'll talk about this in detail next week, but he uses this term, abundant entrance, because he goes back to the time in which people, like they went and they fought in a war, or they went to the Olympic Games, and when they would come back to their city, everybody would say, here comes the hero, and they would get at the gate of the city, and as the person would come through the gates, they would throw rewards out, and they would honor him, and they would cheer him. He's saying that if you live for Jesus Christ, if you develop all of these things, when you coming into the kingdom, you're going to be showered with the rewards from God. Is that what you want? Do you want to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant? I mean, by faith in Christ, you're going into the kingdom. The question is, what kind of entrance will you have when you come into the kingdom? Will it be an abundant entrance, or will it be, well, I came in? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Romans chapter 14 all talk about the fact that we will stand before Jesus Christ. Has nothing to do with salvation. We will stand before Him for rewards. We want to hear Him say, well done, good and faithful servant. It's going to be a big party when you come through the gate. That's the analogy that Peter is using. Now, if you live a godly life, you develop these qualities, you won't stumble, but you'll have great rewards in the kingdom. What have we seen? We'll get more detail on this next week. But what have we seen? Make every effort to develop these characteristics, these qualities, such as faith and virtue and knowledge and self-control and perseverance and godliness, loving believers and loving others. If you do, you're going to be useful and fruitful. If you don't, you're going to be blind. You're going to miss the point. You're going to live for the temporal, and you're going to forget what Jesus Christ has done for you. He says, so then make every effort to demonstrate through your lifestyle that you belong to Jesus Christ. And if you do that, you'll never stumble. And when you enter the kingdom, it will be an abundant entrance for you. That's pretty powerful. Let me give you the application. And the best that I can think about from this passage is, let's live a godly life now, making a difference for Jesus Christ. Why? So that we can have that abundant entrance. How do we do it? We develop those eight qualities found in verses 5, 6, and 7. We live in such a way that we demonstrate to others that we belong to Jesus Christ. It makes a difference now and in the future. Because right now, if we do all of that, people will see that we belong to Jesus Christ. We'll be useful and fruitful. If we don't live this way, we'll have missed the point. We'll be living only for the temporal, and we'll actually have forgotten what Jesus Christ has done. It affects our testimony. We want people to know that we belong to Jesus Christ. And not only does it affect the now, but it affects the future, that when you enter the kingdom of God, you will have an abundant entrance. Sometimes people act like, I don't really care. I don't care if I have an abundant entrance. You know what? You will. You may think it's no big deal now, and you may think it doesn't matter whether you serve Jesus Christ now or not. And you may say, oh, look, I'm going to heaven. That's the only thing I wanted anyway. Well, that is the greatest thing of all time, that He's given to you eternal life. But it makes a difference how you live now on how you'll get to serve Him and the rewards in the kingdom. I hope and pray every one of you want to hear Him say, well done, good and faithful servant. That happens as we develop these qualities, as we're useful and fruitful, as we show people that we belong to Jesus Christ. We will never stumble, and we'll have an abundant entrance. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You as we think about our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we thank You that You have provided everything that we need for a godly lifestyle. It's based on Your promises, that You have told us to develop, make every effort to develop those characteristics and those qualities in our lives. Lord, You tell us that if we do that, we'll be useful and fruitful. You tell us if we don't do that, we're going to have missed the point and live only for the now and even forgotten what Jesus Christ has done. So, Lord, we are to make every effort to demonstrate to others that You called us and You chose us. We belong to You. When we do that, we will never stumble. And that when we enter the kingdom, it'll be an abundant entrance. And we'll hear You say, well done, good and faithful servant. May we do that. We ask this in Jesus' name.